I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast. Today, I'm talking to Day Arts writer Rick Koster about the return of our Night and Day section after a long hiatus during the pandemic. And also, we're going behind the scenes of a restaurant review because restaurant reviews are back. Welcome to the podcast, Rick.
Karen, first of all, let me just say, you know, since we've worked together 20 plus years, it's like I feel like I haven't seen you in 20 plus years because of the, we haven't been in the newsroom. So even though it would sound weird to go welcome to the podcast, like we never see each other, we sort of haven't. So thank you. Thanks for getting me in here.
Thanks for coming, Rick. And we might have a minute to talk about your hair a little bit later.
Oh, Lord.
But right now, I'd actually like to focus on restaurant reviews. You've been doing them for about 15 years for the Day, and people have questions, Rick.
Sure.
How do you choose a restaurant? Do you tell them you're coming, and have you ever been recognized?
We choose the restaurants, and typically there have been always, it's not like at a lot of major newspapers, there'll just be one restaurant critic, for example, or one, I prefer the phrase food writer, but whatever. We have a revolving, we've always had two or three people that alternate. And I think that gives a little different flavor to readers, no pun intended, because food writing is one of those things where your personality can really sort of emerge, you know, and that's fun. So the three of us in conjunction with Christy Dorsey, who is our arts editor, we have a sort of a chalkboard where there's so we can keep track of who's going to do what and who's already done what. And the theory is we'd like to focus on obviously new restaurants, but you got to let somebody get settled in. If somebody opens a restaurant today, we wouldn't review it for at least 2 months and let them get up and going and get comfortable with it. We revisit places, but again, we wouldn't do that unless there had been a massive change in the menu or the chef or whatever. But other than that, it'd be 2 or 3 years before we went back. And it's a small region. This isn't like, you know, New York or Chicago or New Orleans, where there's a new restaurant every 10 feet. There are a lot of restaurants in the area, but sometimes you got to go, man, is anybody opening anything this week? And I'm, again, referring mostly to how it was pre-COVID, and we're all on the same boat on that. But interestingly and encouragingly enough, some restaurants did open in the last year, and I don't know of any that opened and then closed. It seems like so we're excited to get back to it, and there's some new places to see, and I think I answered that question on how we choose them, right?
Yes, thank you. And by the way, you mentioned two other food writers. Who are they?
Marissa Nadolny is one, and this is still all in the family sort of, because Marissa for a long time was the arts and features editor here at the Day. And so she still got her hand in. And then the other one is Ann Baldelli, who was a longtime reporter here at the Day. Tremendous. Both of them very good writers. And both of them know a lot about food, I think probably more than I know about food. So it's fun to have all of them on board for that.
Great, Rick. And just as an aside, do you bring your wife Eileen, and do you still use some kind of acronym to describe her eating style?
I forgot to answer one other thing you said. Am I ever recognized? I think you said I have been, yes. And I think part of that isn't anything other than I have a column that runs once a week and my picture's in it. And again, I go back to the big city thing. I suspect a restaurant critic in a big city could go years without anybody knowing who she or he is. But this is a small area. I mean, it's not just, I mean, your picture's in the paper, Dave Collins's pictures, Mike DeMauro. I suspect we all get recognized. Plus, it's just, you know, if you walk into Muddy Waters, we all know each other. So yeah, it does happen. But if that's the case, I acknowledge it in print that I think I was recognized, or I'll say, they came up and said, "Are you Rick Koster?" And we just deal with it that way. So I had forgotten to answer that. I apologize. But yes, my wife Eileen frequently goes with me. She is a vegetarian and has been since 10 days after we were married. And I'll take 1 minute to share this goofy anecdote. So we got married in New Orleans, and then we returned back to our home in Dallas. And after about 10 days, she said, "You know, would you mind if I experimented with vegetarianism? Have I told you this already? Would you mind if I tried to become a vegetarian?" And we only been married 10 days, so I wanted to, of course, please her. And I said, "Of course. Good for you. I'm all for it." And in my brain, I'm thinking, well, this will last about 6 weeks, if that. Well, here we are 30 years later, and she hadn't had a bite of meat in those three decades. So good for her. She stuck with it. But early on in the restaurant review thing, I made a joke in print and called her the vegetarian who walks among us. Because there weren't that many up here when we moved up here, and certainly not a lot of restaurants that had any sort of extensive variety for a practicing vegetarian. That's changed somewhat to the better. But so I call her the vegetarian who walks among us, and then I turned that into an acronym, whatever that is, TVW, blah, 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 blah. And that got to be,
yes.
So there was actually a restaurant that is no longer with us, but they had a vegetarian sandwich called that acronym and had it on the menu. And I tend to blather, Karen, and I apologize, but I had a book come out called Louisiana Music, and I did a book signing tour, and we were in Louisiana at Jazz Fest, and they have a book signing tent. I could not have been more proud. That may be the most proud thing I don't have much of an ego, but it was neat to get to go to Jazz Fest and sign copies of my book. And I'll be damned if I sat down at this table and a gentleman walks up and says, "I would like to buy a copy of your book and sign it." I was like, "That's why I'm here. Thank you." And he goes, and Eileen was sitting next to him, and he goes, "Is that the vegetarian who walks among us?" So we were in New Orleans, and sure enough, they knew they knew who she was. So it traveled. I guess that acronym traveled.
That's fabulous. And Rick, I have always said you are the consummate gentleman. I wonder, do you have a hard time being critical?
Yeah, I do. I have a hard time being critical. And that's not to say, I mean, I was a professional musician for 14 years, and at a point, we were playing only our own music, and we were going for a record deal back when that's how the music business worked, and it was very competitive, and if someone wrote in a local paper, or that was before social media, but it stings when somebody, says something bad about what you put so much work into. And certainly the books I've had published, I've got some bad reviews. And so I am aware of that as a human being. That said, I am also, this is what I chose to do, is write about music and books and art and the restaurants. And that involves expressing my opinion. I have been guilty, to my shame, of writing stuff that made me laugh out loud, and I'd included them in a concert review or whatever. And the next thing I know, I realized, man, maybe it was justified to be critical at that point if you didn't like the performance or whatever. But I realized, man, that could have really hurt. And I have heard from people, including the artists of people that I had reviewed, they said, "Man, that felt like a slap in the face," or "That was unnecessary," and they were right most of the time. I don't mind being critical, particularly of a concert. or an album or something, if I don't like it and I think it's poorly done, I will, and there's something I can say that's funny about it, I don't mind standing up for my opinion on that. But there's a line beyond which I don't think, I have learned that I don't think I should go there anymore.
When it comes to a restaurant, if the service is slow, if the food's too salty, et cetera, how do you write the review?
I will say that. I will say that. And I try to be... let me back up just a second. The idea of me writing restaurant reviews for the day was not my concept. I did not come to the day with that on... Well, frankly, I didn't come to the day with any resume at all other than drunk who played in band for a while. But anyway, it occurred to our editor at the time, Lance Johnson, in conjunction with our arts editor at the time, I believe it was Alyssa Bass, why don't we have Rick do some restaurant reviews and just put some personality into it, thinking maybe I would do it in a little bit different way that might be fun to readers. And I said, I will, but I also said, look, I feel comfortable writing about books or music because I have done it and I put a lot of time in it. I like food, but I'm just as happy with a sack of White Castles as I am at Bobby Flay's restaurant. So I don't have a hypercritical resume and I don't have a background where I did it. So I feel like I'll write about restaurants and I'll be critical about them and say if there's something that I didn't like about it, I will say that, but it's probably going to tend to be pretty gentle. And I also think it's fair, Karen, to note that if I'm going to a restaurant, a local restaurant, that, you know, for all I know, a guy and his wife or a couple of sisters or whatever put their life savings into opening. This is their dream. To open this little spot, I don't feel I have the qualifications to walk in there and just savage the place, even if it's awful. And I'll give it more than two or three times, you know, in the hopes that it gets better. But whereas I might savage somebody that's in a band that sold 50 million records and I feel like they're mailing it in, I would have a different approach to being negative about the food being too salty than I would about a band. Not, does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And we have a rating system here at the Day for restaurants, stars or
no? We used to, and then that would work if it was only one person doing it. But what Marissa's 3 stars or what Ann's 3 stars might be different than what my 3 stars are. So it didn't seem fair to have me go to Popeyes and give them a 4-star rating and then Ann or Marissa going to some really nice restaurant and they only got 3.5 stars because it's 2 different things, you know.
Okay. And Rick, what is actually the purpose of our restaurant reviews?
I think we live in an area that, well, first of all, people just love to eat. And if you look at the Food Network or one of the food channel shows, those things are hugely popular. People like to watch. I mean, essentially, if you look at the Food Network, there's 3 different templates for a show. There's a competition, there's a how-to, that sort of thing. And then they have nothing but a bunch of their own people sitting around entertaining each other. And I don't know about you, but we don't get tired of that. We'll watch it over and over and over. Or the seasonal stuff, like Halloween baking or Christmas baking. And that they're on to something. People are fascinated by food. They like to eat it. They like to talk about it. And I just remember being a little kid waiting on the arts section to come out in the Friday paper. What restaurant are they going to review? And it might be someplace I would never get to go to. And certainly on my musician's salary, a little older, could afford, but you just enjoyed thinking about that. And so I think we do provide a service to let people know that there's something new in the area. And again, one of the benefits of being a smaller paper and people maybe recognizing Marissa or Ann or I is they get to know our personalities, and they might say, well, Coster isn't as mean as he could be, so we'll have to keep that in mind, you know. And but they get to know the personalities, and there's I get a lot, probably more interaction with readers from the restaurant and food stuff than I do maybe the music and book stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think this all shows during the pandemic, the restaurants were really a sign of, you know, like the illness in society, right? When absolutely. The restaurants closed, it was, you knew this was really bad.
Absolutely. And you know, I tended bar in the lean years, and Eileen was a waitress, and most of the guys I played with or whatever, we all worked in the service industry to help get by. And those people work hard, man. They work really hard. And so I think a lot of us tried to get as much takeout from local people as possible during the pandemic, just anything to keep these folks alive. And but it, what you're saying is we all missed the restaurants, whether it's just going out to be social or just because I like to, that's a destination. I want to go get something to eat and sit in a restaurant, you know?
Which I guess brings us full circle now in that we're resuming restaurant reviews, and a lot of people are vaccinated, and it's springtime, and we're writing restaurant reviews again. So could you give us a little bit of a sneak peek of your upcoming review?
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind doing that at all. It's a place called, and this will run in Wednesday's paper. I'm not sure what day you're going to post this, but soon it'll be up. Yes, and it's called Cinnamon Grill, and it's on Bank Street in New London, and it's everybody would recognize the place. It's on that little. It's been about 5 million different restaurants over time, and I wonder, Karen, because there's been some good places in there, and I wonder if it's parking. Sometimes it's difficult to park on that little stretch of Bank Street between the fire station and on up by the Columbus statue. But anyway, so this Cinnamon Grill is principally Sri Lankan in terms of cuisine, but it also, it's pan-Asian. Anything Eastern Asian, they try to represent. Laos, Cambodia, as far, would it be west as India, Vietnam. So they got a lot of different kind of overlapping cuisines. And the biggest problem is how do you, in a review, how do you go, well, I tried all 19. And that, so that is a problem, but at the same time, I think their theory is if you come in and try something and you like it, then you're going to come back in next time and say, well, maybe I'll try Sri Lankan this time. And I have been, all the visits I'm going to do, I'm writing the review right now, and we were well pleased, and we liked it. And I think hopefully they will do well with it.
And by the way, do you go back to a restaurant a couple of times before you write a review?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's only fair, you know, if for no other reason, then you got to have at least, you would say 3 to 5 dishes sampled, I would think, and some appetizers and stuff. And then, as I mentioned earlier, if I go somewhere and I don't have the greatest experience, I'm absolutely going back and say, well, maybe that was an off night or whatever.
Great. All right, and before we close, tell us a little bit about the anticipated return of Night and Day.
Well, this is really encouraging to us. They had mentioned at the first of the year, you know, when we were all just like any other business, the newspaper, or like when we started talking, I haven't seen you a couple of times in 13 months, and we see each other every day. That's the nature of the newsroom. But so we've been struggling and improvising just like everybody else. And at the start of the year, Tim Cotter and Tim Dwyer, the managing editor, executive editor, and the publisher said, we think we'd like to try to restart Night and Day, the entertainment guide, which we had shut down when everything else shut down. and maybe this summer we would. And Christy and I, Christy Dorsey and I, the editor, and I, were encouraged because A, it's fun to do that, and B, that's being optimistic. Things are going to get better, and there'll be something for us to write about. And then strictly from the business side of it, we were told last week they're going to jump it up even earlier. And to me, I infer, and I hope I'm not talking out of class here, that our advertising sales are good enough to warrant us allocating that space to it. And I think that's got to be encouraging as hell, you know, to get to. So we have a lot of fun in the night and day section. We can be a little more freewheeling. And we're going to have a meeting tomorrow with Christy and I and Tim Cotter and say, because we're not sure exactly who is, or when are the casinos going to open up with the concert schedule? Because that carries a lot of weight to have two of the biggest casinos in the world within 15 miles in our little, you know, every week there's 3 million selling acts that come through those places. So I'm not sure when they're going to actually start live music again, but clubs that are opening up, there's going to be some outdoor stuff. So we'll reconfigure and figure out what we're going to do, but it'll be, we're looking forward to it.
Excellent. And generally, do we publish the restaurant reviews in that night and day section?
Correct.
And when does it run?
It runs every Thursday, night and day comes out. I think that's going to be the plan now until night and day does resume. The restaurant reviews are going to run on our Wednesday Daybreak food page. So that's the schedule as far as I know right now. And is it okay if I said, listen, if anybody's got some tips or some reviews or whatever that they think we should review, we would love to hear from them. You can reach us, go online at theday.com, and that's the way to get to us, right?
That's the way to get there.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Rick. So thank you for coming by the studio today. It's so great to see you in person.
It's good to see you. And Carlos is in there in the other room running it. Haven't seen him since he got back from his exotic Caribbean vacation with his family. I'm still bitter about some of the food pictures he took. So anyway, yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
This is Managing Editor Isaskun Larrañeta, and I want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, here's the deal. What we do is not free. When you subscribe to The Day, you are supporting local journalists who care about the community just as much as you do. They work tirelessly to uncover what's going on in the city or town you live in. They cover moments of joy and sadness. And during these crazy, historic times, we need your support to continue to cover the stories that you care about. Please consider a subscription to The Day by visiting theday.com/subscribe. Thank you.